Reverend Father, venerable religious brothers and sisters, dear parishioners and guests, I would like to reflect upon our Lord's glorified body. As we well know, this body was tormented beyond all belief in the Passion. His skin, his flesh, was torn by the scourges. There were great marks in his hands and feet from the crucifixion. His head was a mass of thorns, of blood, of sweat, that had all congealed there. As Isaiah had prophesied, we considered him as a leper. He looked that terrible. His body was so disfigured. Why? For our sins and for the sins of the whole world. By his stripes we are healed. An atonement, full payment, was made in a way that the human race could never make. Now this body, of course, it was washed and cleaned up as best as could be done under the circumstances by his holy mother, and what a sword of sorrow again was going through her heart, as would any mother who has to bathe and clean the tortured body of her child. And so it was prepared. It had to be finished before the sun went down, because under no circumstances could the Sabbath be violated. And the Sabbath began at sundown for the following day. And Saturday was the Sabbath in the Old Testament. So they had to hurry. It wasn't a full burial. The spices couldn't all be put in. The full preparations couldn't be made. The Sabbath had to be observed. And the body then lay there for 3 days. And according to the Jewish manner of reckoning, even part of a day was called a day. So his body was in the tomb for 3 days, part of Good Friday, of what was left of it, all of Holy Saturday, and then whatever part of Easter Sunday, his body was there until this most magnificent miracle happened. His human soul, which had gone down to hell, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, and by hell we mean the lower depths, his body returned from limbo and reunited with that torn and tormented body, and all of a sudden it became glorified. All wounds, all disfigurements disappeared, except for the 5 wounds that he keeps for all eternity. The mark of the nails in his hands and feet and side, those remain. But everything is most glorified. And he rises from the dead. This great miracle, no human eyes see it happen. It happens in the tomb. He was locked away, and there was the guard outside to make sure that his disciples couldn't steal his body. And it was the very guards posted by the enemies of our Lord. So you can be sure that they were going to take every measure to protect the sepulcher. But they couldn't protect the sepulcher from God. And God rose from the dead. His human soul and his human body came together and became utterly glorified, more than we can imagine. There are 4 qualities that we can try to use to describe this glorified state of our Lord. As St. Thomas says in his teaching, he enumerates these four qualities as lightsomeness, as impassibility, as agility, and subtlety. And very briefly, lightsomeness, the shining brilliance just coming through from this glorified state. That's the first quality. The second quality, no more suffering, impassibility, cannot suffer. The third, agility, moving very quickly, even going right through the door. As the apostles would find out Easter Sunday night, he went right through the door. Of course, he's God, he can do anything, but now his glorified body can go right through that door and appear to them. And they had locked it and barred it from anyone entering. Well, the glorified body of the Lord entered. And then the fourth quality, subtlety. And St. Thomas says this is being perfected by its form. In other words, perfect, the perfect body. Nothing missing, everything in complete proportion. And there's a lesson for us here, my dear brethren, that just as Christ rose from the dead, one day every human being that has ever lived since the beginning of the human race will rise from the dead. That soul will be reunited to a reconstituted body. God can do all things. He will reconstitute every body, human body there has ever been. And those who died in the state of grace will have, of course, though not in the same measure as our Lord, of course not. He's Almighty God, so he has his own special glory there. But those that arise having been in a state of grace when they died, their bodies will be lightsome, will be impassible, will be agile, and will have this subtlety, which is perfection of form. And here's the point we need to remember especially. The more that body suffered for God, the more that body was an instrument of good deeds, the more that body shared in the passion of Christ, the more glorious that body will be. Those who arise to judgment having had sin on their souls will be ugly. Those bodies, already before they go to the judgment seat, are already showing their ugliness to others. They will not have clarity, impassibility, agility, or subtlety. Those bodies will now be suffering for all eternity. So this is what we are called to, and this is the many abundant lessons of Easter Sunday, that our bodies are destined for glory, but they will receive that glory only if they share with the sufferings of Christ. Because without his cross, there was no resurrection. There was not that glory for Christ. But he, obedient to his Father's will, fulfilled it perfectly. And so as he rises from the dead on this most glorious feast, he is reminding us to rise one day from the dead, that it will happen, and it will be to reward or to punishment. Easter Sunday, the grace of Easter Sunday, is a renewed fervor in living our Catholic faith. We've just been through the penance of Lent, and didn't those days seem to stretch on endlessly at times? But we needed it. But now we don't just go back to the way the spiritual condition we were before Lent began. That would be to lose everything we worked for and suffered for. Now, obviously, Easter is not the season of penance, but let's not lose the spiritual growth that we achieve during Lent. And there needs to be this new fervor, not a new laxity, a new fervor in living our Catholic faith, in awaiting the crown, which doesn't come in this life. It comes in the next. St. Paul even says, and I go back to the epistle of today, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. He's telling us we should be dead to sin. There's such an intimate connection between Easter and baptism because in the early church, everybody was submerged when they were baptized. And that was an image of how deep they should go in leaving their old life. And as they're coming out after having been submerged, it shows the renewed fervor and faith that they are to have. It doesn't mean, of course, that we can be perfect like the Blessed Mother, but we have to strive. This is the grace of Easter. Let's not lose it. The crown awaits, my dear brethren. Let's not lose it. And the more we are faithful with Christ in this life, the more that crown will shine, the more precious gems will be in it. Let our blessed Savior fill your hearts with great faith, hope, and love. And let us sing to him with joy and thanksgiving that never ends for all that he has done for us. Let us sing to our Blessed Mother as we will throughout this season. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For he whom thou hadst merit to bear hath risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. A blessed Easter to you and to yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.